Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This is the language of lament that expresses deep sorrow and outrage at violence perpetrated by entrenched power. People across the globe have been singing songs of lament forever. Just as our brothers and sisters in the Muslim community are doing right now. As Anglicans in Rwanda and Soweto have done and continue to do. As the first peoples of this land have done for generations. Lament is a response to the abuse of power that results in violence and catastrophic suffering. Singing lament eventually brings healing, but it can take hundreds and hundreds of years. The descendants of the Jews of Europe and all other victims on this planet of genocide will be singing lament until the very end of time. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How can this be? Jerusalem is the holy city. How can this be? And yet, it was made unholy by the collusion of power, religious and political, that oppressed others in order that certain people could enjoy privilege. And this is the kind of power that dominates others, that colonizes, that thrives on systemic inequality. Herod was just this kind of ruler, a Jew who was a puppet king placed on his throne by Roman hands, considered a traitor by his own people. And he was always alert to any hint of threat to his position, which was not set on a firm foundation by any means, but was maintained by the ever-present threat of violence. He beheaded John the Baptist because after his shallow fascination with the wild appeal of this wilderness voice, Herod was uneasy, and so John became expendable. Herod was perplexed by John. He was also perplexed by Jesus, failing to understand how talk of service and mercy and compassion could possibly appeal to anyone. And so Herod was uneasy. And when Herod is perplexed, it usually means that someone is going to suffer. And this is especially so when truth speaks to power. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. And this still happens with regularity. We remember the security cam video of the hit team arriving in Istanbul from Saudi Arabia in order to execute Jamal Khashoggi because he was speaking truth to power and had been doing it for quite some time. So power, entrenched power, dominating repressive power, becomes very uncomfortable, perplexed. What must be done? And then it lashes out. In this case, fatally. Sometimes power responds with a somewhat more civil face, but the result is the same, even if a physical death has not occurred. And you can ask our former Attorney General about her experience of trying to speak truth to power. Every day, regardless of the news outlet, this ages-old story plays itself out. Now, we attend to it in Lent because contending with the principalities and powers is part of our spiritual formation and maturation. Does not mean that only in Lent that we are concerned with speaking truth to power, because the threats to peace and living compassionately are ever present. But we're able to focus on it in a particular way with the character of this season. And it is in community that we learn about and can be mentored in the practice of moral courage, which is necessary for truth to be spoken to power. And it is necessary to our discipleship also. Creating change for the sake of justice and peace and compassion and mercy and equity requires moral courage. The late Robert F. Kennedy said that moral courage is a rarer commodity than either bravery in battle or great intelligence. And yet it is the one vital quality needed by a world that yields most painfully to change. And as much as moral courage fuels our capacity to confront power in the outer world, it is also required for the inner journey. And one of the great insights about spiritual life coming to us from Celtic Christianity is that whatever is out there is also in here. And yes, that means that we all have an inner Herod, a tyrant that privileges the position, for instance, of the ego, the inner status quo being incredibly important to maintain. And whenever the soul sends up prophetic words, ego is perplexed and seeks ways to silence this voice. Except you can't, finally. But in the meantime, symptoms will show up in disturbed sleep, physical ailment, distance in relationships, generalized boredom, many other signs that say that truth is being spoken to power, but it's falling on deaf ears. These and other signs call us to journey within so that we can meet and claim our own God-given authority to live as we were meant to live, to love our life, actually in the process learning to love ourselves. The late Carl Jung said of this inner dynamic, acceptance of oneself is the essence of the moral problem and the acid test of one's whole outlook on life. That I feed the beggar, forgive an insult, love my enemy in the name of Christ, all these are great virtues. But what if I should discover that the least amongst them all, the poorest of all beggars, the most impudent of all offenders, that these are within me, and that I myself stand in need of the alms of my own kindness, that I myself am the enemy that must be loved. Discovering within the source of our personal authority allows us, even impels us, to develop moral courage, to speak truth to power, both inside and out. Personally and communally. And if we ourselves have not yet discovered our voice, then one of our brothers and sisters beside us will speak on our account. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, is the lament that we sing, taking us into the very heart of darkness to encounter the powers that corrupt and destroy. And even as it is our lament, it is also our song, for the assignment that our Lord has given to us to be on our way, doing today and tomorrow the works of justice making, the works of compassion, the works of healing spoken into being when truth found its voice. Amen.